Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Very good evening and welcome to the latest edition of Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and I, along with our team of correspondents, are back over the next hour looking ahead to the Manx sporting action this weekend on tonight's programme. After poor weather decimated Manx football fixtures last weekend, will we see the continuation of the ECAP FA Cup first round as well as league ties this Saturday? An Ireland cycling club says there's a real risk it won't be able to run gravel events in 2026 and is issuing an urgent appeal for help to get meetings on the calendar. In rugby, Ramsey return to County's 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire action, whilst two old rivals meet in the Hartford Homes Manx Cup, and a busy schedule of Isle of Man hockey fixtures both on and off Ireland await throughout Saturday. That is all to come this evening. With the time just gone, 5:31pm, welcome and very good evening to Friday Sport Preview. Over the next hour, taking a look to the latest football, rugby and hockey action from across the Isle of Man and further afield. Plenty to get through, and when we turn to football, well, I think it's we should caveat it with, we hope there's plenty to get through this weekend, because my word, did we have bad luck last week, and Mother Nature was not kind to the Manx football schedule last time out. They'll be hoping for better fortunes, everyone involved, this weekend, and to look through what we hope, as I say, is to come throughout this weekend is Tony Meppen. Tony, good evening, and I think it's a case of fingers crossed in a couple of senses, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that word hope, Rob, and I do hope that's something going on. Just to clarify just why we had pitch inspections done today for the FA Cup games. We've got three rounds to get in before the first week, which is the final of April, so we're a little bit under pressure at the moment, and all we were looking at was if any of the home fixture grounds were unplayable and the away fixture grounds were fit, we could move the game. That's totally why we had the referee go and round and have a look at it. Let's just go through the list, if you don't mind me, Rob. Is Uni Mills against Colby. That pitch has been classed unfit, but at the moment the game is still on. I've asked Uni Mills to have a little look at it and make their decision, because they're the one, they've got to make the decision. But at the end of the day, there's no point in them saying, yes, the game is on, when the referee has already said both pitches are totally unplayable. And, you know, there's Colby's guys there, players who have got a day's work they could do tomorrow. And I think Uni Mills certainly got to make that decision tonight. Castletown against Corinthians. I believe Castletown's pitch is okay. Okay, there was quite a bit of rain last night after the last message I had. But as far as I know, Corinthians, no chance. The pitch is wet, so it's not going to be switched there. Spoke to Laxey today as well. Laxey have got a problem on the pitch. I've got plenty of photographic evidence. And it's that bottom corner, Rob, you know, where you go up to the steps as you come out the changing rooms on that left-hand side. And, you know, it's really wet, but they're trying to get the game on. But Braddon's pitch was being used for the combination anyway, so that didn't matter. Peel against Paul Rose. That game was scheduled down because there was no messages from Peel to say that they couldn't play the game at their place anyway. On Monday there was a problem, they found out too many players were away, so that game's been postponed, and that game now will be played on the 28th. It can't be played next week because Paul Rose have a GH call at Wood Cup game. Moran against Rushen. Moran last week agreed to play at Rushen. This week it was back at Moran, but now that's been moved to Rushen. But again, Rushen's pitch is underwater. Spoke with Jack Gale this morning and there was problems there on that one. Old Boys against Duncan, that game has been postponed. And Ramsey has sent in Old Boys against St John's, that game has been postponed. I'll have a look at it tonight, see what we could do, but I'm pretty certain we're going to put those two games on next week, or any of the games apart from that Peel and Pulley will be on next week.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that, Tony. So let's take a look then at the games that we have as it stands that are on, and we will turn to the ECAP FA Cup first round, as you've just mentioned. And for anyone who's just tuning in the last couple of moments, I should say there are two games off, as Tony's mentioned. Douglas High School Old Boys versus Onchan and Ramsey Centre Old Boys versus St John's United, both off tomorrow due to waterlogged pitches. And as Tony's just been talking about a moment ago, some big question marks over a few more of the games as to whether they will go ahead. We, of course, await further decisions over the next 12 to 18 hours, most probably. Let's take a look at one of those games then, Tony, that to all intents and purposes looks very unlikely to go ahead, but is as it stands. Uni Mills versus Colby. So Colby, of course, right at the top of Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2 at the moment. If there was some way for this game to go on, you'd imagine they're full of confidence at the moment, coming up against the Uni Mills side, who will go into, on paper at least, favourites, but Colby will fancy their chances.
They will, but you've got to remember 7 days ago this game kicked off. It was only there's two games that we got, which was St Mary's and the other one was Union Mills. And the game was abandoned after 45 minutes because of state of the pitch. Score at that time was 3-0 to Union Mills. So it sort of gives you an idea of where Union Mills are at the moment playing-wise and where, sort of, I'm not saying Colby aren't playing particularly well, but maybe the difference between the two leagues. And I think it's always interesting when you see Premiership sides against Division 2 sides. I think there's a lot of work to do for Colby. They know that, to see if they could get something out of this game. But I think Union Mills will just prove a little bit too strong. But as I say, Rob, both pitches have been inspected. They're nowhere near being fit. So this game won't be going ahead tomorrow, I wouldn't have thought.
Very well. Down in the south of the island, another potentially intriguing contest, because Castletown, of course, still right in the mix behind Colby in the fight for the Division 2 title. They're due to be hosting the Canada Life Men's Premier League frontrunners Corinthians, Tony. And for Castletown, if indeed they do go on to get promoted this season, how good a test will this be to find out where their standard is at up against the current Premier League leaders?
I think it'll be a big test, because when you look at Castletown's results of late, when they lost against St George's and then they played them again, I think it was, and OK, they got it right on that day, but it's just one of those. Against Corinthians, it's going to be very difficult. I haven't got the list at the moment because no one sent me a copy, but Chris Bass has chosen his new Ireland squad. 35 players he's picked. Four of those of Corinthians, so it just shows you a little bit where Corinthians are strength-wise. And I think Castletown know where the power's going to come through. There'll be no Luke Murray, he's still struggling with his injury, but when you look at sort of the forward line, when you've got Sean Doyle, you've got Dan Simpson, who's been in majestic form. Defensively, they're solid, Stewie Smith, Darren Kane, and whatever sort of who plays in midfield, Declan Blake being one of them, Josh Ridings may be in there as well. I haven't seen the squad, but certainly Castletown, it's a pointer for them, Rob, because if they do get promoted at the end of the season, they're going to be coming against teams like Corinthians and others next year on a regular basis, and might just sort of warn them how tough that Premiership is going to be. So you have to go with Corinthians to win.
Very well. And then elsewhere over at Glen Road, and again, Tony, you mentioned it before, big question marks over this one as well as to whether it will go ahead. If it does, it's an all-Premier League clash. Laxey, who just seems to have dropped off the pace of the top four, let's say, in the Canada Life Men's Premier League over the last couple of weeks, up against a Braddon team that has moved themselves 8 points clear over the last couple of weeks of the drop zone as well, in league terms.
Yeah, what a big result that was against Douglas High School Old Boys. And I just feel that takes the pressure off them a little bit. They've still got a bit of work to do. This is the cup. They don't expect to win it. Will Smith's sensible enough, and the players know as well. So it's more of a try and get back in and playing football again. But if this game does go ahead, it's going to be pretty slippy at Glen Road. And, you know, when you look at Johnny Palmer's team, what a fantastic start to the season that they had. They always do well in the Cups. The Hospital Cup seems to be one of their favourites, but they want to win the FA Cup as well. Just depending on what sort of team he's got. I noticed Cameron Avery's back. That's a massive plus because they've lost Tom Smith. Tom Smith has returned back to Australia. Up front, when you look at people that they've got available, Ben Wazza, you've also got Hawley in there, who's, you know, he's such a handful as well to try and deal with. And when you look at Robinson and others in there, Tom Cowan, they've got a really strong team, and I just think Laxey will prove too strong against Braddon.
And the fourth game in the ECAP FA Cup first round that is, as it stands, due to take place this weekend, although again, big question marks over this one, is between Division 2 Moran and Rushen United, which Tony mentioned before, and again, just as a reminder, has, at least for now, Tony, been moved to Croit Lowy, Rushen United's home ground.
Yeah, and probably a little bit hot off the press on this one. Andrew Moody stepped down as manager for Rushen, and Dids Ward, he's done it before. Dids David Ward, he comes in to take over as number one, and this is his first game. Dids stands no messing. It's total commitment, or you're not going to be in that team. So it just gives a chance. I think the players are there, Rob. And when you think of that start of the season run that Rushen had, it was really strong. But Moran, I've seen them twice. I've seen the good side, I've seen the bad side. Defensively, they're well organised, good goalkeeper. Midfield, they work hard. They've got legs up front. They're very, very tricky. And I think David Brew, Colin Gilbert as well, know that this is going to be a tough ask. But sometimes when a new manager comes in, for a team that is pretty strong, it goes well for them. And I've got a feeling that that's going to be the way. Rushen will take the victory. And this is definitely being played at Rushen if it goes ahead.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much. And again, just a reminder, if you've not long tuned in as well, the two other ECAP FA Cup first round games, which were scheduled to take place tomorrow, Douglas High School All Boys versus Onken and Ramsey Centre All Boys versus St John's United, both postponed due to waterlogged pitches. We were due to have another game as of a few days ago, Pulrush United versus Peel. That's not taking place. Peel on a rest week this weekend. Outside of the Cup then, those Cup games kicking off at 1:15 tomorrow. Elsewhere at 2:00, we do have a selection of league fixtures due to take place. Just one in the Canada Life Men's Premier League is due to take place in a meeting of two northern sides. Ayr United, 9th in the table at the moment, 16 points from their 17 games so far, facing 10th placed Ramsey. And Tony, Ramsey in the league still only played 12 games so far this season. When you look at other teams on 15, 16, 17, with the exception of St John's on 13 and Foxtel at the bottom also on 12, Ramsey have been without a lot of football at times over this season so far and need to get the games under the belt.
You have, and it all goes down to damage on the pitch, Rob, because unfortunately he had a delivery of, I think it was the lift, to go up the stairs, and the van went onto the pitch. They couldn't get the van off, so they've had to tow it off and caused quite a bit of damage. They've repaired it, from what I'm hearing. They've put, turf down. But that's not going to take in this sort of temperatures and everything. So it's a real big problem. And I know I've had quite a bit of correspondence with Anthony Cooper. He just said, we're trying our best. There's, you know, the pitch probably, to be fair, Rob, has struggled over the last couple of years. And whether it's an old story, but it used to say if the Murig Park was filled, it would be okay. But if Murig Park is emptied, then it seems to struggle. Well, that to me works against what you would have thought. But whether that's a myth, I don't know. But, you know, Ramsey could do with some football because they've certainly got quality players there. When you look, they've got FC Alamann players, Jamie Corlett. They've got Hudson as well, Callum Hudson. And when you just look through that team, Dylan Pickles and others, they're really, really strong. And I just think against Ayr at the moment, they're strong. I haven't seen Alamann starting lineup for tomorrow, so I don't know if Harry Best, Leo Tregurtha or Sean Kelly's going. Sean doesn't usually travel, so if they've got Sean Kelly, then that could help. But I would say this is a no-go as well, because Ayr's pitch, when there's a lot of rain around, like most pitches, you can't handle what we've had. And when you're looking at over 40 days of rain that we've had, it's incredible the amount of water that's come down.
Indeed. So as it stands, that's the only Canada Life Men's Premier League game tomorrow. As it stands in our Durden Drug Unlimited Division 2, we're due to have two games tomorrow. First of those, Governors Athletics, still second from bottom at the moment, only ahead of Douglaston District. Governors Athletic, like D&D, still yet to get a win on the board this season in the league. They're going to be hosting Douglas Royal.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about this one because as I was heading in here, I was told, but I've just checked my phone and I haven't got the email, so I can't confirm this, but I was told that both Douglas Royal games were off, home and away, so it's pointless in talking about it. So Simon, if you're listening, if you can still forward me that email, please. I've just checked, I haven't got it, and I wouldn't mind. I only spoke to him 20 minutes ago. He said, I've sent you an email, so it hasn't come through. But I think that one's gone.
Okay, yeah, well, obviously, if we do get any updates during the course of the show, we will, of course, let you know. The other game due to take place, this was an addition to the programme, wasn't it, down south? And that sees Malou, and now Malou, 8th out of the 10 sides in Division 2 at the moment. But like Ramsey in the top flight, have played very few league games so far. Just the 11 they've played so far, compared to many other teams that have played between the likes of 15, 16 and 18 in Douglas and District's case. Malou, they're due to be hosting St George's, and St George's, Tony, have seen a little bit of an uplift in recent form after at the start to the season. They had a tough start.
They certainly have, and well done to Carl Gartland, because he's held it all together and he's sort of basically running the club single-handed, so credit to him. I went and watched them. Yes, they had Sean Quay in there, they had Chris Bass, they also had Kieran McNulty, so it helped them. But then after that, a couple of team sheets I've seen, I hardly recognise a name, Rob. So I'll go and visit them again. But I know they're very, very promising young players. Players that have come from other clubs, which is huge, you know, to keep the club going. And I wish them really well. This game's being played at Malou, but already Malou have indicated that this pitch is in doubt tomorrow. Malou did try and get the FC Alamann slot, which, you know, they're trying to get maybe 5:30 till 7 or something, but they just couldn't get it organised with them. So it's a big, big shame. And even had a backup plan of maybe going to King William's College to play, but King William's College pitch is not playable. So they've tried everything. Fair play to Jordy. His head must be battered. But unfortunately, this looks as if this one's going to be postponed.
Why am I getting the feeling that we should all be wearing wellies tomorrow, including Dave and Ben out on the rugby and hockey side of things?
Well, it's quite interesting on this, Rob, because the bowl is available 2 till 5 o'clock on Sunday. Anyone could have had it, whatever. It's being put out by the FA. I've contacted clubs and everything. And people say, well, why don't you play games at the bowl? No one's taking it. Players are busy on Sunday. Can't do it. It's half term. Everything else. So it just shows you at the moment what a huge problem we've got with over 100 fixtures to rearrange.
Indeed, the fixtures are stacking up over the course of the season so far. And, well, let's take a look towards the Combination Leagues this weekend. Due to have 5 games in Canada Life Combination 1. Just quickly, we'll give you a bit of the state of play as it is at the top of the Canada Life Combination 1 Combination 1 table. Corinthians leading the way with 35 points after 16 games, just 3 points behind Russian United, also after 16 games in second. And then in third, Ramsey on 31 points, so 4 points off Corinthians at the top, but with 2 games in hand on the teams above them. So those are your top 3 in Combination 1 going into this weekend. So Tony, if you could take us through the games due to take place in Combination 1, and I believe just with the look that you're giving me, we've got an update.
It was one of those twist of the eyes. It is. Hi Tony, pitches Mark, this is at Russian, very soft at places, just haven't been able to get any equipment on it, meaning the quadruplay or whatever. So some standing water in places, which I forked and see what it's like in the morning. Now my forecast that I got was no rain tonight, rain coming in tomorrow night, but last night that was a lot of rain that come through, and maybe you can update us.
Although we do have, just to add a bit of context here, there is now a yellow weather warning in force for frost and ice that runs until 12 p.m. tomorrow as well. So there's another factor that has to be considered.
Can't give me any good news.
Well, I wish I could, but the Met Office has spoken, and right. I'm in no position to question that whatsoever. Tony, continue, sorry.
I've just got an up-to-date in as on the fixtures as well. Thank you, Simon. Right, let's have a look. Division 2, Governors Athletic against Douglas Royal. That game, call early on to give time. That's what they're saying on that one. The other one, which is St George's against Malou. They've changed moved it to Malou. Yes, we know that, but that pitch is under pressure. And apart from that, that's where we are.
So still no further clarification, if you like. But yes, of course, we will bring those details as and when we can, if there are indeed any updates on other games. Yeah, Tony, very quickly, still got around 2 or 3 minutes or so. Let's take a quick canter through the Combination League. So let's go back to Canada Life Combination 1. 5 games there as it stands.
Yeah, it is. And Combination 1, Onken against Union Mills. Spoke with Brian Callow today. They're underwater. So that's not going to happen. St John's against Corinthians, I know for one, that has gone. So that's postponement. St Mary's against Russian, that one definitely is on because it's on at the bowl, so that's not a problem. Ramsey against Air United, that's at Ramsey, but it's just, you know, one of them, as we were talking about it before, that must be doubtful. Braddon against Old Boys, that's already gone. Braddon's pitch not playable.
Very well. Ardern and Drug Limited Combination 2 due to have 5 games tomorrow. One has already been called earlier today, Douglas Royal versus Governors Athletic, due to a waterlogged pitch. State of play at the top of Combination 2 very quickly. Paul Rose United leading the way, 45 points after 16 games, and then the two teams in behind them, Ramsey Centre All Boys in second and Douglas Athletic in third, both on 40 points. Douglas Athletic have played 16, but Ramsey Centre All Boys 15 as well. So not all said and done at the top of Combination 2 at the moment. Tony, have we had any further updates on the 4 games in Combination 2 that were due to take place?
We have. It's a little bit sketchy on this one, so we'll get it all checked. But Combination 2, Douglas Royal against Governors, postponed. Michael against Ramsey Centre at the moment is still on. Douglas Athletic against Jim's, postponed. St George's against Colby, no information. And Paul Rose against Castletown. No information on that one, but I would say that must be in doubt as well, because quite a bit of water down there at Springfield Road.
Indeed. Well, thanks, Tony. And yes, as we've just been kept saying throughout the show as well, obviously plenty of question marks around fixtures this weekend, given the weather conditions, not just over the last couple of days, but over the last couple of weeks. And that weather, of course, decimated fixtures last weekend. Any further updates, of course, leading into tomorrow's fixtures, we will let you know. And I suppose, Tony, again, got around 60 seconds or so here, but you mentioned it before, the amount of fixtures that are piling up for the FA to have to sort now. I mean, I suppose how big a job is it now to get those games on?
been there before, Rob, with 200 and got it sorted, got it finished. It's going to be hard. It's keeping the cup games running. Tomorrow, let's have a look at the moment. We've got Union Mills. We'll wait and see what happens, Castletown. But we've got three games off at the moment. If we lose another one, we won't do the draw tomorrow, because when it's either or, because it's done alphabetically, it confuses it.
Excellent. Well, Tony, thanks very much. And of course, Tony and everyone else for that matter will be keeping you updated tomorrow as and what happens with those football fixtures.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Moving on, and an Ireland cycling organisation says there's currently a real risk it won't be able to run any senior mountain bike, cross-country or gravel cycling events on the Isle of Man in 2026. Manx Viking Wheelers Cycling Club is issuing an urgent appeal for volunteers to help run events this year, as well as try and get people's views on the future of the sport at a crucial meeting next week. Well, Niall Quiggan is the Manx Viking Wheelers Cycling Club treasurer and also one of its directors. This week, he's been explaining the current situation.
So, in the past few years, cross-country mountain bike and gravel events have been administered by the Manx Mountain Bike and Gravel Association. Last year, they merged with Manx Viking Wheelers, and yeah, the plan was that they would continue to run the events and Manx Viking Wheelers would do the admin in the background. Essentially, this year, those plans haven't really panned out as we foresaw, and yeah, it's looking like without further volunteer help, the cross-country events and the gravel events won't be administered by the club this year as things stand. So yeah, we're just putting a shout out really for more volunteer help, and anyone really who has any skin in the game when it comes to cross-country or gravel, or even has a vague interest on how it's run, to come to our next committee meeting and offer their input.
Just off what you said there about volunteers and what you say there, that you know that is one of the core things that maybe needs to be sorted going forward. I mean, just how big an operation is it from a volunteer standpoint to run these events?
Yeah, it's significant. I mean, whether it's the person leading the event on a day, or for in gravel on a cross-country case, the marking out of the course is very important and clearing down the course, marshals, people to run the sign on, timing, the list is extensive. But the main thing we need currently for these events is just a lead on the race. So that's someone to really just take it by the scruff of the neck and be the man slash woman on the day to administer the event on behalf of the club. So yeah, I mean, even if someone thinks they're not the person to do that, yeah, we encourage everyone to come forward and yeah, give their input on how we can solve this problem, really.
In a worst case scenario, if indeed this risk becomes a reality that we don't have mountain bike, gravel, cross-country events in 2026, how damaging could that be for cycling on the island this year?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember the last time there wasn't a event of that nature on the Isle of Man. And, you know, it's important that we have a cross-country scene in particular, because you know every couple of years we expect to send athletes to the Island Games to win medals. So without that event being run on Ireland, it becomes difficult to see how we can send those teams going forward. It's important still to stress that, you know, there's a good youth mountain bike scene, and then there's downhill, and then there's also the Manx Grand Fondo this year, which is a gravel race. But the competitive element of the sport for senior athletes is seriously at risk, and as things stand, there won't be an event in 2026 without more help.
And again, just going off of it, what you said there could be longer term repercussions if indeed it isn't resolved as well. So, you know, could it have an impact on the likes of Ireland preparations for things like the Ireland Games and other events, like you say, that are going ahead?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, riders return to Ireland Games, they cut their teeth in local racing, you know, they prepare in local races to go to, you know, national level events in the UK. And you know, it's also important just to have for people to have an alternative to riding on the road. I know a lot of people just prefer racing their cross-country bikes. And, you know, in the past, we've had massive, massive fields in those races. So it'll be a massive shame to not have them going forward. And, you know, I don't know what a future Island Games cross-country team looks like without a scene on the Isle of Man, basically.
Going off what you said about, you know, identifying that, you know, more volunteers are needed to help run things, particularly behind the scenes, what options are there now for the club and all of those involved to try and turn this all around?
Yeah, so the hope is that people see our message and they come to our next meeting and, you know, perhaps they don't volunteer or actually take one of the roles we're talking about, but they maybe have ideas on how, you know, we could restructure some of our other events so that more availability within our current committee could be freed up. As with anything in cycling, it's all volunteer-based. No one's doing this for money. It's for love of the sport. So the key message is that at this moment, we wouldn't be putting a shout out for more help if it wasn't absolutely needed. We just need anyone that has any semblance of interest in cross-country or gravel racing to come forward to our next meeting. And if someone's out there and they're hearing this and they think, I want to be the person to lead this going forward, fantastic. They should reach out to us straight away.
For anyone who is interested in coming along to that meeting, when and where is it taking place? And also for those, particularly those who have not attended something like this before but might be able to help out, what could they expect from that meeting?
So the meeting is on the 18th of February at 6:30 in the Sea Terminal. So just outside Costa in the Sea Terminal there. It's a fairly laid back thing, really. So it's not like expect to be grilled on what you've done in the past. Yeah, it's just more of an open forum, really, for people to chip in and maybe offer to help where they can, or ideas or whatever. Yeah, don't expect like a full-on inquisition into how help could be offered. And, you know, if someone turns up, we're not expecting, they shouldn't feel obliged that they need to offer help.
That was Niall Quiggin, the treasurer and one of the directors of the Manx Viking Wheelers Cycling Club, on the efforts to try and save senior mountain bike, cross-country and gravel cycling events that it's due to run in 2026. And as Niall says, anyone who may be available to help volunteer at events this year or just has ideas for the future of the sport here is invited to attend the club's next meeting, and that'll be taking place next Wednesday, the 18th of February, by the Costa Coffee Stall at the Sea Terminal in Douglas, and getting underway on Wednesday, the 18th of February at 6:30 p.m. And just a reminder as well, we've already been talking about the footballing side of things and the weather that we've had going into this weekend. There are a couple of weather warnings that are going to be in place from now right through to Sunday with regards to frost and ice and snow and sleet. We'll bring you a few details on those in just a few moments' time. But after the news and after the break, we'll be turning our attention to what's going on in Manx rugby and hockey. In terms of rugby, it is a double header of on-island action, one in the English Club Championships and one sees a meeting of two big rivals in the Manx Cup, and hockey, a busy schedule for them, also both on and off island for the local and national teams. Back in just a few moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is now just coming up to 4 minutes past six, and we're turning our attention to rugby. A doubleheader is currently on the cards here on Ireland, involving both English Club Championship action and the return of the Hartford Home Manx Cup, involving two bitter rivals going head-to-head at Portishead. Before we dive into the fixtures themselves, as we hope they will go ahead, and bringing in our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian. Dave, good evening. I suppose the burning question, as we had with Tony Meppam over the last half hour or so, is how is the weather looking when it comes to rugby terms?
We talked a little bit about this last week with Ben, because obviously the fixtures were starting to stack up football-wise. Rugby has a slightly different outlook. We don't require the surface to be ultra smooth. The ball is not going to be kicked along it. It's going to be passed through hand or kicked forward. So the surfaces themselves aren't overly important. I don't want to sound disrespectful to anybody. Yeah, they get caught up from time to time. The pitches will be soft, but up at Ramsey, where we've got one game, the Murrick Park's an excellent drying surface. I don't foresee any issues there. Portishead does get a little bit more cut up and a little bit soggier, but Jasper Kirkpatrick down there, the groundsman's done a fantastic job. The drainage has been improved no end. The pitch is much better than it used to be, certainly when I was playing. And I think the only concern we've got really, is possibly with overnight frost. If the pitches are frozen, then it will be difficult to get things moving. But, you know, if a pitch is frozen, it means there's been clear sky, and clear sky means bright sunshine. When the darkness goes away in the morning, the oversoil heating, I like to call it, that will be on from first thing in the morning, and I don't foresee any issues at the Murrick Park. Maybe at Portishead there's a bit more of a risk. It's a little bit further inland, but the Murrick's right next to the sea. There'll be no issues at Ramsey. And depending on what the state of the pitch is in the morning. The Douglas Vagabonds game in the Manx Cup has always got the opportunity to be moved somewhere else. We've got floodlights at Ramsey, there's floodlights up at Vagabonds, so I don't think we'll have any issues in getting the games played.
So there are options. And again, just to say at the moment, as it stands, both games are due to go ahead. And just like with any updates with regards to football and hockey over the next 12 to 18 hours or so with the weather, we will, of course, let you know as soon as we get any details. Let's turn then to, first off, Ramsey returning to action in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. They'll be facing Duckenfield at Murrogue Park. Before we look at the two sides, Dave, for those who don't know, there has been a bit of a change at this point in the season for Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, the league, hasn't there?
Yeah, it's the best way to describe it is horrible and messy. The RFU like to play a 14-team league. That's the maximum size. And that's not been possible. The RFU like to play a 12-team league. We've got 14, so it's a bit too big. Goes outside the 22 fixture parameters the RFU set. So the organisers are trying to make the best of a bad deal, I guess. And the teams have played each other on a round-robin basis once. It's home or away by draw. That gives 13 fixtures, and then it's going to split into two mini-leagues. Two leagues of seven, and there's another six fixtures there. That gives a total of 19, which is as close to the 22 as you can get without really making things complicated. So phase one hasn't quite finished yet. There's still a bit of overspill. Ramsey and Vagabonds both have to play rearranged fixtures on the 7th of March. Ramsey are at Oral, Vagabonds from memory are at Colne and Nelson. So those two games still hung over from phase one, but the league have been able to get the split. They've got the split, so Ramsey played Duckenfield. This is the first game of phase two. Duckenfield, Ramsey were away against them, lost 26-8, I think it was. 26-0 down at half-time, dug in the second half and feel they should have done a little bit better. Duckenfield have two big players, Mike Cannoli and Jared Ward. Neither of them playing tomorrow. Mike Cannoli's playing for the second team. He can't travel. There's no sign of Jared Ward at all, so he must be injured. So that'll definitely give Ramsey some optimism. And the Ramsey team is at full strength too. Everybody there who needs to be there. I guess the only player missing is Tom Moffat. He's had a little bit of minor surgery, so he's out for a week or two. He's going to be replaced by Scott Neal at standoff. And other than that, the Ramsey side is pretty much unchanged. I think the only alteration other than at 10 is that Adam Dunlop's going to come back into the team. He's been away for a mid-season holiday. So Ramsey need to get the monkey off their back. This is going to be a great opportunity for them. At home, they've had a couple of weeks rest, pretty much at full strength. It should be a good game, and we'll be there to cover that one from Saturday Live. It kicks off at the Mirrick Park at 1:30.
And of course, as you mentioned, with the league splitting as well, and both Ramsey and Vagabonds involved in the minor conference league, Vagabonds not in league action this weekend, as we will explain in just a moment. But it means that this league, sometimes, I know, Dave, you've mentioned this, there's sometimes a bit of a gap between the tops and the teams at the top and the bottom in terms of standards. It shows in the points, but a more level playing field maybe for the next few weeks for Ramsey and Vagabonds.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the teams that are in that bottom seven have all had close results. And, both sides will be itching to get back into it to see if they can't demonstrate how much they've improved since the start of the season. And the odd number of teams, seven in the bottom league, means there's always somebody going to have a free week. It just happens to be Vagabonds this week.
Indeed. And yeah, joining Ramsey and Vagabonds in that minor conference league for the remainder of the season is Colne Nelson, Congleton, Duckenfield, who of course play Ramsey this weekend, Hoylake and Ormskirk. So your Ramsey team to face Duckenfield tomorrow at the Morag Park at 1:30 p.m. in County Street, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire is as follows. So your starting 15 for Ramsey, numbers 1 to 15 in order are as follows. Joe Flanagan, Ben Hardman, Micheál Flynn, Jacob Cateen, the captain Josh Cateen, Adam Dunlop, Harvey Collister, Matthew Meekin, Dan Kelly, Scott Neal, Braden Roche, Kieran Neal, Brandon Atchison, Will Millsop and Jake Richmond. And the three substitutes available for Ramsey this weekend will be Connor Cracknell, Joey Callow and Ross Quayle. Away from English Club Championship action, we turn to local competition because the Hertford Homes Manx Cup returns this meeting, and it is a sort of, I suppose, meeting of two big Douglas rivals. It's going to see Douglas Celts specifically. They're going to be hosting Vagabonds at Portishead, Dave.
Yeah, Douglas's first team are, first of all, they're locked in a tremendous promotion battle as playoff places going in Northwest 2. Plus, of course, the level at which they're playing means that they're considerably ahead of local teams in terms of playing levels. And that continues to provide a little bit of a safety concern. They're bigger, faster, harder, stronger. So Douglas elected to put their Celts team into the Manx Cup. This is their first outing. Vagabonds were out last week and lost against Southern Nomads. So this is kind of a make or break for them, I think. If they don't win this one, that could see them out of contention for the Manx Cup. That remains to be seen. But we do know that Douglas Celts are strong. We've seen the team. Notable on there for me, Percy Hampton. He's been basically... I know we've had, I think, Cal Denteth as captain, but Percy's the man with the driving force on and off the field. He got a bench spot for the first team last week, but he's been playing for the Celts all season. We also see Mark Oldfield down there on the team sheet somewhere. He's been out injured most of the season. He got a cameo off the bench last week as well. So they've got some players there who are fringing for the first team, as well as some of the older players and more established players for Douglas's Celts team. Conor McCocken is a legend around these parts. He's big, rangy, plays at number 8 at the second row, gives his 100% every game, and it's guys like that who deserve a shot at having a go at the Manx Cup, and this is a great opportunity for Douglas.
Indeed, we have Douglas Celts team news, as Dave's just alluded to. So the starting 15 for Niall Killier's side, numbers 1 to 15 in order for Douglas Celts tomorrow for the Manx Cup tie at 1 o'clock at Portishead are as follows. It is Brandon Haas, Aaron Mason, Ralph Clark, Conor McCocken, Matty Clegg, vice-captain Callum Denteth, Craig McGee, captain Percy Hampton, Jonty Shimin, Jack Wallace, Joe Dale, Craig Martin, Charlie Henthorne, Miguel Costa and George Evans. And a packed substitutes bench available for Douglas Celts tomorrow, and they are Richard Bell, Chris Bollen, Rhys Moore, Mark Oldfield, Mark Shortland, Conor O'Kelly de Conjurer, and Tom Corlett, I should say, and Jack Rowlands. No team news as of yet for Vagabonds. Just finally, Dave, got a few moments as well, a little bit like I asked Tony as well with regards to the weather. We don't know what's going to happen overnight. We can't say for certain, but when can we expect an update as to when and if games will go ahead tomorrow?
I think the teams will look at the grounds probably first thing, and if there is a problem, they'll flag it up at that stage. My first watch of the day is actually on Duckenfield's incoming flight. If that lands, I'm happy. If it doesn't land, then we have to worry about it. But Duckenfield are staying overnight tomorrow, so it doesn't really matter what time we get them to Ramsey. We've got the floodlights up there. We can get the game played no matter what. So that's not a massive issue. But if we've got any news, we'll get it into Manx Radio first thing in the morning.
Excellent. And yeah, as you've already mentioned, Dave, as well, again, for the benefit of those just tuning in, there are options with regards to rugby. If one pitch is deemed unplayable, there may well be options elsewhere for the games to go ahead. So yes, a quick reminder then. So Ramsey hosting Duckenfield in the Minor Conference League now of Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. Kick off 1:30 p.m. at the Morag Park. And then slightly earlier at 1 p.m, Portishead. It's the Hertford Homes Manx Cup between Douglas Celts and Vagabonds. So stick with us. We're going to be turning our attention to hockey. It's not just going to be a busy afternoon of morning, I should say, and afternoon of league action due to take place on Saturday across the local competitions. But we've also got two Isle of Man national teams involved in England Hockey Championship action across the water. Two teams heading over to the northeast, hoping to make a little bit more progress. We'll be joined by our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham, after this short break.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
You're listening to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 18 minutes past six, turning our attention finally this evening to what is looking to be another busy schedule in Manx hockey, both on and off island this time around, because along with the latest selection of league fixtures taking place across the majority of divisions, we have two Isle of Man national sides heading across the water tomorrow to take part in their respective England Hockey Championship competitions. To go through everything, as always, is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. And yes, Ben, looking to this weekend, of course, well, it's going to be one of the big topics, isn't it, before we have any actual answers going into Saturday, is the weather as well. So I suppose everyone's hoping with bated breath that we do get games going ahead this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, things astro-wise look a lot more promising than what it would be for the football side of things. We'll keep a close eye on things. Hopefully, we've got all fingers, toes and everything crossed that none of the pitches give us any issues tomorrow. I think, though, we probably should be okay, but let's see.
I suppose maybe on those artificial surfaces, it's less the rain, but more the prospect of this frost and ice that the Met Office is currently warning us about. But of course, we just have to wait and see. We don't know.
Yeah.
We'll turn our attention first off to the games that are due to be taking place off island this weekend, the England Hockey Championships, two Isle of Man senior national teams in action. We're going to start with the Isle of Man Ladies A team. They're going to be returning to action in the EH Women's Tier 2 plate, the second round to be precise. They're heading to the northeast. They're going to be taking on Newcastle University's second team. So a bit of a journey for this team this weekend, Ben, but we'll go through the team shortly. Looking quite strong there, that team that's going to be heading there. They'll fancy their chances.
Yeah, as you say, Rob, the team looks really strong. When I got the team through yesterday, I was really impressed with the selection that they're taking away to this game. And for sure, it looks a really strong squad, and it looks like they're going to go over there and mean business for sure. Against Newcastle University seconds, of course, travelling across, of course, sometimes you can get home advantage with playing at home. So Newcastle will have a good support there. But I'm sure the Isle of Man will be taking a good support and contingency with them as well to this game. And as I say every time when we're talking about the Island teams, it's great to see a mixture of all clubs represented.
It is indeed. Just looking through this, so this is the Isle of Man Ladies A squad that will play Newcastle University Ladies second 11 in the EH Women's Tier 2 play tomorrow. That's a 1:30 p.m. pushback over at Northumbria University. So a bit of a journey and an early start for the Ladies A squad tomorrow. So this is your Ladies A squad. So there are three players from Valkyries who will be representing the side. They are Ellie Burns, Ellen Robinson and Ellen Cleater. Then two from Castletown. They are Abby Sutterby and Evie Watterson. And then a whole host, no fewer than six players from Backers representing the Ladies A team, and they are Sam Hassel, Lucy Quine, Liam Meller, Lucy Cartwright, Emma Courty and Lucy Kinraid, and then two from Harlequins Hockey Club. They are Rachel Middleton and Macy Crellin. So yeah, as you say there, Ben, still a good diverse range of clubs being represented in this Isle of Man Ladies A squad.
Absolutely, and a couple of names that do stand out for me, the likes of for Backers there, Liam Meller. She's been in great form coming into this, scoring plenty of goals for her club. And again, there's other people I could name there, but all of them in that team have earned their spots in that team. And we just hope that they can come back with the goods tomorrow night when hopefully on classifieds we might know the result.
Indeed. So yeah, 1:30 pushback for that. And the Isle of Man men's B team, they will also be in action across the water and also in the northeast, incidentally, in the EH men's tier 3 Vars third round. So it's been a strong couple of performances for them so far in this particular tournament. They're heading over to Stockton, so over to Teesside. They're going to be facing Stockton men's second 11 in this one. And Ben, very positive start, as I've just mentioned there, for the Isle of Man men's B in the England Hockey Championships. Again, bit of an unknown variable against this Stockton men's team, but whatever the opposition, no doubt, again, another Ireland national squad that should be coming into this with a great deal of confidence.
Absolutely, and it's great to see a second men's team as well being represented from the island. Again, another great strong squad going across for this game. And yeah, against Stockton seconds, who knows what could happen, but hopefully it's another Isle of Man win and another great win for the men's B team. But again, another really good, strong squad with a mixture of both all clubs from the island.
Indeed, and just looking through that squad, there's no fewer than seven players from Vikings Hockey Club. So they are Sam Spooner, John Verrill,
Eddie Cayley, Archie Cayley, Andy Harding, Neil Crowe and Nathan Evans. Then there are three in the squad from Harlequin Hockey Club. They are Liam Taverner, Alfie Swales and Ronan Santanatolia. Just the one from Valkyries, and that is Kieran Gell. Two from Backers Hockey Club involved. They are Shay Christensen and Dougie Quayle. And the one representative from Castletown Hockey Club is Stevie Ronan. And that is a late pushback, that one. That's actually 6:30 p.m. They'll be facing Stockton Men's second 11 there. So it's going to be a bit of a long day for them, I guess, Ben.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day. But I don't know what it is, but I do love a game under the floodlights. I just think it that atmosphere just makes it a bit more special. It might just be me. It probably is just me, to be honest.
I just think I remember my playing days and when I was in my university team as well. Our games used to push back our home games at 4:30 p.m. So in the winters, we were under the floodlights as well. And there is sometimes just a little bit of a different aspect about it. OK, so those are the two Ireland national teams playing away this weekend. Turning to league action. Now, with those two teams being in action, there are a number of postponements across the respective Premier Leagues. Two games off in the Men's Premier League this weekend. Vikings A versus Harlequins A and Backers A versus Vikings Kings B both postponed. Just the one game in the Men's Premier League this weekend, Ben. 12:35 at King William's College, Castletown A versus Valkyries A.
Yeah, Valkyries A, Castletown A, both level on points in the Men's division, in the Men's Premier League. So this could be a really close game. Not too many players missing from either team as well, representing the island. So this game can go ahead. I think this one would be very close, though. I think Valkyries, though, might just edge this one here. Castletown, a few players missing through injury and a few players that have obviously moved on in the way at university. So I think it'd be a Valkyries win.
Yeah, Valkyries just ahead of Castletown on goal difference going into this weekend. In the Ladies Premier League, all three games have been postponed. They were due to be Harlequins A versus Castletown A, Valkyries A versus Vikings A, and Backers A versus Castletown B. All of those Ladies Premier League games this weekend postponed due to the England Hockey Championship commitments of quite a few players. Elsewhere, though, in Men's Division 1, we currently have a full schedule of three games, Ben.
Yeah, and the first game is at 12:35, and that's Valkyries B against Ramsey A at QE2, and that's at 12:35. Second feed third, so that one's going to be very close. Backers B take on Valkyries C at King William's College at 2:05. I'm going to go for a Backers B win there, and a big bottom of the table clash between Castletown B and Harlequins B. That's the late kickoff at King William's College at 5:05. Ooh, I'm going to sit on the fence on that one.
Well, actually, just elsewhere, you mentioned Backers B there. They're the only team with a flawless record so far. And what I mean by that is, not only have they got 4 wins from 4, they've scored 21 goals, but they're still yet to even concede in a game as well. It's been a remarkable start for Backers B,
absolutely,
the Men's Division 1 leaders. Ladies Division 1, also a full schedule plan, 3 games, Ben.
Yeah, and it's Backers Derby at 2:05 at the NSC between Backers B and Backers C. Then at 2:05 again, you've got Ramsey A v Castletown C at Castle Rushen High School. I'm going to go for a Ramsey win on that one. And then finally, at 3:35 at QE2, sees Vikings B against Valkyries B, a big top-of-the-table clash. I'm going to just edge it towards Valkyries B.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Valkyries B topped by just a point ahead of Ramsey A going into this weekend. Men's Division 2, 3 games there this weekend.
Yeah, all really close games here. So 11:05, you see Castletown C play Backers C at the NSC. But I'm going to go for a Backers C win on that one. Ramsey B take on Harlequin C at Ramsey Grammar School at 2:05. I'm going to go for a Harlequin C win there. And then finally, Viking C against Backers Colts at the NSC, 3:35. I'm going to go for a Viking C win there. One thing to note, the top two played each other last week, 6-goal thriller. Ended 3-3, so it's all very close still at the top of that division.
And across all the divisions, it must be said, still, of course, a very long way to go in the current campaign. Last but certainly not least in the senior leagues is Ladies Division 2. Again, a reminder, just the 4 teams in this competition this season, so we're only having 2 games each weekend at most. Both of them are early pushbacks at 11:05, and we have Ramsey B versus Valkyries C and Castletown D versus Vikings C, Ben.
Yeah, and just a correction there, Rob, it is 5 teams. So Harlequins Ladies B are currently on a rest week this weekend.
Oh, my apologies.
So it's all right, don't worry, I'll let you off. You're just returning after your break. But yeah, Ramsey against Valkyries C. I'm going to go for a Valkyries C win there. And then Castletown D v Vikings C. That one will be a close one. I think, though, Castletown D will just edge it.
And outside of the senior leagues, there is just the one game in the mixed under-15s league this weekend. That is a 3:35 pushback at Castle Rushen High School. That's Ramsey Rogues and Rascals versus Castle Town Sabres. Well, Ben, time is nearly up this evening, but just very quickly as well. Of course, it's a big subject in the likes of football we've seen over previous weeks, refereeing side of things. Umpiring-wise, across hockey, how are things looking this weekend with the, I suppose, separately in some cases, the weather coming in?
In general, umpiring's looking good. However, we have got a couple of slots that we're looking for umpires. So if any umpires are out there listening and they are available, we're looking for an umpire at 3:35 at Castle Rushen High School, 3:35 at King Williams College, 3:35 at the NSC. Then at Peel, we've got a big gap where we're looking for two umpires for the 12:35 game and one umpire for the 2:05 game at QE2 as well.
Excellent, yeah. So if there are any umpires out there that do have some time to spare this weekend and may be able to help on a game out there, please do let Ben Cunningham or the MHA know. Ben, thank you very much indeed. It's just about all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Many thanks to our guests, as always, this week. Just a quick reminder, of course, if you're out and about tonight and early tomorrow morning, there is that yellow weather warning in place for frost and ice across the island. That came into force at 5 o'clock this evening. We'll run through until noon tomorrow. Clear skies and light northerly winds. Ground temperatures will quickly fall below zero around dusk, which has just gone, leading to a widespread frost with ice forming on any untreated surfaces which remain damp or wet from earlier rain. So if you are out and about tonight and into tomorrow morning, please do take care out there with that yellow weather warning for frost and ice. Well, just wrapping things up here on Friday Sports Preview. If you want to catch up on anything you may have missed on the show earlier, then this will be available as a podcast later this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.